Gopi channa valapa kiva vidhavi Gopi channa valapa kiva vidhavi Yashodanandana bhajajana ranjana Yashodanandana bhajajana ranjana Jamunatira banatari Jamunatira banatari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama, Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parvajakacharya Astatara Sattva Shishna Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parvajakacharya Astatara Sattva Shishna Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Ki. Namacharya Haridas Thakur Ki. All glories assembled devotees. All glories assembled devotees. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So today we're going to be reading a verse from the ninth chapter, The Most Confidential Knowledge, and it is, I don't know if you can bring it up there. Yat karoshi yat ashnasi yat jahosi didasi yat yat tapashyasi kaunteya tat karusham ararpanam. I'll read through it again. You can read it. Why don't we just do it all together? Yat karoshi yat ashnasi yat jahosi didasi yat Tat tapashyasi kaunteya tad karusha mararpanam. We'll do the word for word. Yat. What? Karoshi. You do. Yat. Whatever. Ashnasi. You eat. Yat. Whatever. Jahosi. You offer. Dadasi. You give away. Yat. Whatever. Yat. Whatever. Tapashasi, austerities you perform. Kaunteya, O son of Kunti, tat, bet. Kurusha, make, mat, unto me, arpanam, offering. So the translation by Srila Prabhupada, O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities you may perform should be done as an offering unto me. So please repeat, O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you, do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities you may perform, should be done as an offering unto me. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Thus, it is the duty of everyone to mold his life in such a way that he will not forget Krishna in any circumstance. Everyone has to work for maintenance of his body and soul together, and Krishna recommends herein that one should work for him. Everyone has to eat something to live, therefore he should accept the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna. Any civilized man has to perform some religious ritualistic ceremonies. Therefore, Krishna recommends, do it for me. And this is called archana. Everyone has a tendency to give something in charity. Krishna says, give it to me. And this means that all surplus money accumulated should be utilized in furthering the Krishna consciousness movement. Nowadays, people are very much inclined to the meditational process, which is not practical in this age, but if anyone practices meditating on Krishna 24 hours by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra round his beads, he is surely the greatest yogi, as substantiated by the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Amangana Timurandas Chagana Gana Salakaya Chakshurandavitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, reading this verse, I was really thinking about all the time we spend with praying, with prayers. So I'm focusing my class today on that concept of prayer, like how should we pray and why do we pray and what is the best prayer? There's so many ways to pray. It's such an interesting subject. I've really learned a lot, you know, studying and getting ready for this class. So the definition of prayer, according to the dictionary, is a solemn request for help or expression of thanks addressed to God. The purpose of prayer is to connect with God. Prabhupada defined the highest form of prayer of sincere glorification of the Lord and also to be engaged in his service, requesting God to be engaged in his service. So he also broke into categories that prayer is a personal loving exchange expressing a desire to serve, an admission of helplessness, acknowledgement of helpless position, asking for the Lord's mercy. So we see that all the time, you know, in the scriptures and with ourselves. You know, so many helpless situations. Purification of the heart helps to purify the heart and develop a humble dependence. And along with it, you know, expressing gratitude for what we do have. And praying with a contrite heart, you know, asking for forgiveness. Two examples, famous examples of that would be Indra and Brahma, who both ran into difficult situations with Krishna and had to beg for forgiveness. I was thinking, too, of, you know, I grew up as Catholic, and, you know, I'm grateful for everything that I learned, because then I just learned even more. But there's a prayer many of you may know, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. So there's a lot in that prayer. You know, first of all, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So the idea of the holy name of God, and which is in the Hare Krishna movement, we base so much on that. We base practically everything on that. In fact, I found a quote from the Harinam Chintamani. I'll read it to you about the holy name. It will just enthuse you to chant the name with more enthusiasm and dedication. It says, the name is the purest form of knowledge, the best of all vratas or vows, and the highest meditation. It gives the ultimate auspicious results and is the most sublime renunciation. Chanting is a matchless spiritual activity, the holiest of pious activities, and the supreme path of self-realization. It offers the greatest liberation and goal. The holy name is divine and situated in the paramount spiritual realm. It is super excellent devotional service. So when you're chanting, you're doing devotional service. According to this, you're doing super excellent devotional service and the best purifying agent, showering love of Godhead. It is the essence of all scriptures, the cause of everything, the supreme absolute truth, the most worshipable object, and acts as the supreme spiritual instructor and guide. So, you know, the chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is such a very, very special prayer. And, you know, I was kind of meditating on how Prabhupada, the founder of the Hare Krishna movement, how he set up our day. Because when I started looking at it, I thought, wow, the whole goal of human life really is that communion, is that connection with God. And how can we keep that going all day? It would seem almost impossible, except that Prabhupada taught us how to do it. It starts in the morning when we wake up. We naturally pay our respects, our obeisances to our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, or some of his disciples. And that is in gratefulness, because in order to really pray with a pure heart, you have to be connected with someone who's already there, and they can help us along the way. They can teach us how to pray with that purity, you know, with that dedication. So it starts with that, and then we take a shower, and the next thing, we put on tilak on 12 different places in our body. Om Keshavaya Namaha, Om Narayana Namaha, Om Madhavaya Namaha, Om Govindaya Namaha, Om Vishnavaya Namaha, Om Madhusudanaya Namaha, Om Chukavaya Namaha, Om Vamadvaya Namaha, Om Sridharaya Namaha, Hare Krishnaya Namaha, Om Padmavaya, Om Dhammadvaya, Om Vasudevaya Namaha. So who can tell me why we do that? Why do we put the tilak on 12 places on our body? Can anybody say? It is for protection. That's a good answer. Not from sunburn, wise guy. Yes, that's right. It's to really mark our body as a temple of God. And so in that way, try to keep it pure. And it's also for the benefit of others. You know, how many times have you been out in public and someone says to me, oh, you know, what's that like dirt on your forehead, you know? Or what's that clay on your forehead? So then you get an opportunity to tell people, well, we put it on 12 places on our body in the morning to mark the body as a temple, and we try to remember that all throughout the day. So that's another special prayer that we say. And from there, you know, when possible, we go to Mangal Arati here at the temple at 4:30 in the morning. And it's really a hub of activity when you come here in the morning. Some people are gathering flowers. You know, some people are getting the Arati paraphernalia ready. Some people have woke the deities and already offered some wonderful milk sweets. Some devotees are coming in here, they're already chanting. There's devotees that chant 50 rounds, you know, or 24 rounds. So they're getting a head start on the day. So then after that, we chant japa, the holy name. We chant the holy name for like 2 hours. You know, chanting 16 rounds on the beads, it takes about an hour and a half to 2 hours. It seems like a lot of time, really. But when you think about how much time people spend on Facebook or, you know, just scrolling on the computer or watching a movie or watching television, it's really not much time. And again, this very special prayer, it sets the mood for the day. And that's what's beautiful, that we can see, you know, the pure devotee, he sees Vijvinaya Sampane Brahmani Gavihastani Shuni Shaiva Swapakeche Pandita Samadarshina, that the pure devotee, he sees the spirit soul in everything, you know, in the lion, in the tiger, and in the human being, and in the pundit. He sees it everywhere. So when we chant like that, we don't have to, like, look at people as higher or lower or significant or insignificant. We can see them as spirit souls and treat them that way. And that's how Prabhupada was. That's what Prabhupada did. He appealed to so many different classes of people all over the world, so many different cultures. And because of his purity, because of his love, people naturally came to him and wanted to and wanted to learn more. So another definition of prayer is a universal language of humanity. So along the day, after that, we have a special ceremony, Guru Puja, to the spiritual master. And then throughout the day, there's people do their services, cooking or working, but always keeping Krishna in mind. Like it mentioned, maybe you're working, but you give a certain amount of money to Krishna and charity, and all of that is considered devotional service in that way. And there's prayers for protection of the devotees. In 1976, in the temple in Los Angeles, somebody threw a pipe bomb into the temple, which exploded. Luckily, there weren't many devotees they weren't hurt very badly. They were, hurt, and they were very frightened. And when Prabhupada heard about this, he instantly inaugurated the Lord Nisringa prayers for protection of the devotees, which we say every day. We just said them recently. So those prayers have great, great potency. And there's another prayer that I found while reading Krishna book, and it was very significant to me because once my son was going to go in Sankirtan in New York City, and he was like a young teenager, maybe like 13 years old, and I was very hesitant. I didn't really want him to go, but he kept on begging. I really want to go. All my friends are going. Please, can I go? I was like, okay, here he wants to go and give out books to the public, spread Krishna consciousness. So I said, okay. So he went, and I was mentioning it to my friends, and they said, you let him go to New York? Have you ever been in a subway? And I was like, never. And they were like, it's terrible. It's like going into hell. It's dark. It's dingy. There's so many crazy people in there. So I'm like panic-stricken, that I've sent my child to the subways of New York, to distribute books. So Krishna's so kind that I was reading the story of Putana. And in that story, after Krishna kills Putana, the evil witch, does all these prayers for protection. And these prayers, any mother that doesn't know this prayer, I highly recommend it because it's so comprehensive. It protects, the head and the eyes and the ears and the feet, and it protects from, the north and the south and the east and the west, and you name it, it's covered. So I just started saying those prayers every day, and I felt, I felt like comforted, and that Krishna was taking care. And a lot of times that is one of the purposes of prayer, is that connection. And being able to know that Krishna's taking care of everything. Because, prayer often comes in four categories. And I learned this from the spiritual scientist, Chaitanya Charan. So one category is fear. Like if you don't follow God's law, that you're going to go to hell forever and ever and ever. That's what I was told. There's a big clock in hell. It goes back and forth. It says you're going to be in here forever. You'll never get out, not ever. I was like maybe 8 years old. I was like, oh my gosh, he's mean. Like I'm not sure I want to go there. So anyway, that fear, which is an aspect, that makes people think about their activities, that idea of that there'll be some repercussion for some evil activity. And then also desire. Many prayers are offered out of a want. I want a better job, or I want a better school for my children, or I want better health, or I want my mother to be cured of this disease. So many wants. And the thing is, sometimes Krishna fulfills those desires. He performs a miracle, and those things come about. But the thing is, okay, let's say you get the, you get the new house and you get the Mercedes Benz. Are you totally happy now for the rest of your life? Not usually. That doesn't usually fill the gap, So the idea of prayer is that when we have that communication with God, with Krishna, that we feel fulfilled. We feel that we've made that connection and Krishna's going to take care of everything. So even though we may pray for something to happen and it doesn't happen, we can transcend that situation and just be in communion with Krishna. I once had an experience where a very devastating experience. And I felt like because of that experience, I would never be happy again in my life. That was it. I was convinced. But I would live my life because, you know, I had responsibilities and like that. So going on with my life, one day, a few weeks later, I was in the ocean and, you know, swimming with some friends and my son and his friends. And I found myself laughing and having a good time. And I was like, well, how could this be? I was never going to be happy again. Like, how am I becoming happy? And then Krishna kind of gave me the realization that happiness can come from a friend, it can come from a husband or a wife, it can come from children, or it can come from directly from himself. And we see that in the story of Draupadi, where Draupadi was in a situation, a very compromised situation, where they were trying to humiliate her, and no one was helping her. You know, her husbands weren't helping her, five husbands weren't helping her. And, you know, there's other, you know, Bhishma Dev was there, and so many great personalities. Nobody was helping her, but she called out to Krishna. And when she called out with that sincere love, then Krishna reciprocated immediately and saved her. So, you know, prayers come in three categories. Prayers come in the mode of ignorance. Like you may have someone who wants to break into somebody's house and steal something. And he may have some knowledge of God, and he's praying, please allow me to break into this house and steal this so I can feed my family. So that prayer, and then you got the person who owns the house that's praying, please don't let anybody break into my house, you know, and steal anything. So Krishna has that kind of problem, you know, whose prayer is going to get fulfilled. Not everybody's prayer can be fulfilled, and not everybody's prayer can be fulfilled all the time. But in practicing that communication with God, we become purified in the heart, which is one of the goals, that you become purified. And the other category of prayer is duty, you know, praying out of duty. Like, you know, we have prayers, so we have to be careful not to just recite prayers out of obligation or duty. There's one sense it's due, in the other sense we want to pour our heart into it so that God can really hear us, because God is a person, Krishna's a person, and he wants some reciprocation. He doesn't want us to just chant our prayers mindlessly. He wants us to put our hearts in it. That makes all the difference when we're able to do that. So, and then the last category is love, because devotional service is all based in love. Bhakti mam abhijanati yavan yas chasmi tatvataha tato mam tatvatonya va vishite tadanantaram. That Krishna says, one can understand me as I am only by devotional service. And one comes to this full realization, then he can enter into the kingdom of God. So if we really want to enter into the kingdom of God, it's available. But you can't just do whatever and expect to be qualified to go to the kingdom of God. So pretty much our temples and our homes are like training grounds for the spiritual world. You know, we're doing our service, we're making the garlands, you know, we're saying our prayers, heartfelt prayers. And that way, at the time of death, it'll be an easy transition. And there's special prayers to be said at the time of death also. Atenam bashranam shidam, how does it go? I forgot that one. Anyway, there's another one. Vair anilam amritam atenam bashranam shidam. Om krito samara katam samara. Katosamara, katamasamara. Let this temporary body be burnt to ashes, and let the air of life be merged with the totality of air. Please remember all the sacrifices I've made. Please remember what I've done for you. So from birth, when there's special ceremonies actually that are done, even when the child is in the womb, to help the mother remember God and help the child. Like, it's explained that when the mother is reading Bhagavatam out loud, that benefits the soul inside the womb. So really, Prabhupada set things up so that we would have such a special life, you know, a special day, that we would be able to have a prayer-filled day and a prayer-filled life. I wanted to use a couple of examples of people who exemplified different kinds of prayer. One of them was Queen Kunti, and Queen Kunti was the mother of the Pandavas, and the Pandavas, they went through so many horrible experiences because of the envy of their uncle, actually. So Queen Kunti, you know, they did their best to get through everything. Krishna definitely helped them. But at one point, Kunti says to Krishna, I wish that these calamities would happen again and again, because when the calamities happen, that's when I remember you. So how many people have had that experience? You know, when you're in a difficult situation, like, you know, the car's screeching, you got the brakes on, and you're going, Krishna, Krishna. You know, it just comes automatically. You know, if you practice, if you find yourself doing that automatically, then you're on the right track. You know, it's for being able to remember. So Queen Kunti was asking that these calamities happen because it helped her to remember him. Also, Prahlad Maharaj, who's very famous for all of his things that he went through. His father was quite a demonic king, and I would say that his father, Hiranyakashipu, his prayers were in the mode of passion and ignorance. You know, he wanted fame, he wanted fortune, he wanted to destroy all of his enemies. His son, on the other hand, Prahlad, was very God-conscious. Basically, the father was torturing his son in so many different ways. However, Prahlad composed a prayer, Swashastu Visvasya Kalapasiditam Dhyantabhutani Shivam Vitodaya Manashabhadram Bhajatam Rahoksajay Aveshitam Nomatir Apihai Duki. And the prayer goes, let their good fortune befall upon everyone, and let all envious people be satisfied. Let everyone become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. And as people practice bhakti yoga, they will think of each other's welfare, and therefore the whole world will become peaceful. So I try to say that prayer every day because it's so non-sectarian in every way. It's not political in every way. It's wishing prayers and peace upon everybody. So that's how Prahlad was. And even though he was tortured by his father, he also offered him a benediction of being liberated. The wives of Kaliya. Kaliya was a big serpent. And he was giving a lot of the residents of Vrindavan trouble because the water was all poisoned because of him. Thank you, everybody. I have enough water here anyway. Thank you. So with Kaliya, Krishna went to conquer him. And, of course, Kaliya put up a good fight. He grabbed Krishna, had him in his coils, you can imagine, and the residents of Vrindavan, like Mother Yashoda, Krishna's mother, she just fainted dead away. She couldn't handle it. None of them could. It was just so terrible. But Krishna, never fear. He extricated himself from the coils. He began dancing on the heads of all the serpents that were Kaliya. And besides that, the wives of Kaliya, the Nagapatnis, they were praying, Dear Lord, he's a serpent. You know, he can't help himself. You know, maybe he can become purified by your touch. You know, please don't kill him. Please purify him. Please liberate him. And so actually, Krishna doesn't kill him. And Prabhupada mentions in that story that the prayers of the Vaishnavas never go in vain. So if you're praying for people, you have special people that you're praying for, just know that your prayers are recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, because he just really appreciates, you know, he's a person, he knows we're serving him, and he's reciprocating with us all the time. And even when terrible things happen, it's like, who has had something that's been terrible in their life? But in retrospect, it helped them to make advancement in devotional service. Anybody experienced that? Okay, there's quite a few of you. Yeah. So we never know if something bad is going to end up being good or something good is going to end up being bad. Like you read about some of the people who won the lottery and how it completely destroyed their life, that they invested in something and lost all their money, or worse still, so many people, relatives and friends, expect money, and if they don't give it to them, then they cut off relations. So, you know, a lot of complications with earning a lot of money. So, you know, that's the idea, too, of surrendering to God, of understanding and trying to understand that God has a plan for everybody. And it may not be our plan. So generally, when people pray because they want God to change something. That's what they want. Like, couldn't you just take this away? Or couldn't you just add this? Or, you know, but the real prayer is the prayer that we're changing for God. Okay? We're changing for God. We're becoming purified. You know, we're trying to live according to God's will. We're trying to surrender to Krishna in so many ways. So that's the highest prayer, really, is we're praying for devotional service for ourselves, and that our service and that our prayers, like Prabhupada said, that when you chant Hare Krishna, it goes around the world so many times, purifying everything in his path. So when you chant Hare Krishna, you're not just doing it for you. You're doing it for for everyone. Anyway, let me give one example. I should probably stop because I'm not going to be able to talk anymore. Okay, also Gajendra. Everyone knows the story of Gajendra. Gajendra was a great elephant, and he was a devotee in his last life, and he learned a lot of prayers. So here he is in his elephant body. He's in the river, and a big alligator comes and grabs onto his foot. So they're fighting for a long time. But because the alligator is a water creature and the elephant is a land creature, the alligator started to gain on the elephant. The elephant knew that he was facing the end, but he remembered the prayers from the last life. So think about that. Everything we do in devotional service is permanent. Everything material we do is not permanent. So we really want to increase that in our account, in our Krishna account. We want to have lots of things that we can carry with us into our next life. So Gajendra started saying prayers, and he begged Krishna to please come and help him. So Krishna did. Gajendra picked up a lotus flower from the river. He held it up. Krishna came down and totally rescued him. So we're so fortunate to be able to have all these ways of praying, all these different ways of praying, and to perfect our praying, not to pray for something that's mundane. Although there's a verse in Bhagavad Gita that goes, Akama sarva kama va moksha karma udara dikti brena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. So it says, like, whatever it is that you want, if you want something material, you want something spiritual, you want to merge, whatever it is, better that you go to Krishna. So it's okay to ask for something. It's not the highest, you know, prayer, but still, it's okay. But we do, at the same time, we have to accept whatever Krishna gives to us, you know, whatever arrangement he makes, because he actually knows what's better for us than we do. It's hard to believe that, you know, that he knows better, but he does. And sometimes going through difficulties is the best thing for us, you know, to grow spiritually. So I think I'll stop here. If anybody wants to add, you know, there's so many prayers that we can just adopt and say them, prayers that the sages have given us. Also, you may have your own personal prayers that you say, and that's also very, very special. Prandar. Yes.
Haribo?
Haribo.
Yeah, when you mentioned the Nrisinga Kavach, the prayer, how powerful that is.
Mm-hmm.
Such a powerful prayer. Like you were saying, east, the west, north, south, everything. As I was thinking, that actually came from the like from the John Kazi when the John Kazi was threatening the Harinam party, and actually it was Lord Nrisimhadev who appeared to him.
Mm, yes.
And he told him not to interfere with the Sankirtan movement.
Or else.
Yeah. Another thing that's interesting, though, is when you mentioned Prahlad Maharaj, I was like trying to go deeper. Every time when his father was trying to do so much harm to him, actually it wasn't Nrisimhadev, it was Krishna that he was praying. The whole time throughout the class, you kept mentioning how so important to, like, our goal is to, that we're praying to Lord Krishna for service, we're praying to Lord Krishna for all these different things. And actually, it was Prahlad Maharaj who was praying to Krishna. Like, he was chanting Krishna, Narayan, Lord Krishna's. And then even deeper than that is, like, after the whole pastime with Govardhan in Vrindavan, when they gave everything to Govardhan instead of Lord Indradev, everyone in Braj, they actually pray to Govardhan for everything.
Yeah.
If they want, like, that's why so many have Govardhan Shila.
That's right.
They're praying to Govardhan himself, to
that's
Krishna.
Right.
So it's not like it's that you have to pray to Lord Nrisimhadev. You can go directly to Krishna to pray.
They're very intimately
or
related.
Directly
so
to
either
Govardhan,
way, you'd probably
or
go.
Directly to Govardhan, which is even more.
Uh-huh. Hey, thank you.
Powerful.
Thank you. You reminded me that Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. You know, Lord, the Shastaka has so much advice in that prayer. You know, Trinidapi Sunichena Tara Piyasahishina Manina Mandena Kirtani Sadri. That one should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw on the street, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. So there's so many verses in that, and those prayers left by Lord Chaitanya that we can really internalize and also help us.
Is it bogus to, like, oh, Krishna, please let the Gators win, or something like that?
Well, you can imagine.
Says, oh, please let the Bulldogs win, Krishna. And Krishna's like, where are you?
Somebody's got to be happy and somebody's got to be disappointed, right? Yeah. I don't think it's necessarily offensive, but it probably could be better use of your time if you're praying, you know what I mean? To pray for something higher. Okay. Anybody else have a question or comment? Okay. There we go.
Haribo, thank you for the really nice class.
Thank you.
Something just contemplating today is that we're in, as bhakti yogis, we want to surrender, but a lot of time we're holding on, and we can hold on till our death, and sometimes people are still very attached, and they're leaving their bodies. And we can surrender actually when we're healthy and give up a lot, and we get a lot more benefit because it has to be taken away at the end of our life anyways. So it's going to be taken away, but are we going to get the benefit for giving up and turning to Krishna when Krishna's calling us now?
Mm-hmm.
Please come
true.
And serve now.
Yeah. Something to think about, for sure. Okay, that's everything. Thank you. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Gauranga.